Bible passage this morning is from Matthew 21, verses 12 to 17. Then Jesus went on to the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you've made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were horrified. We have a similar account in John's Gospel, chapter 2. We read this: "In the temple courts, Jesus found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip of cords and drove all out from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?'" Interesting, isn't it? And this chapter in Matthew's Gospel presents a different kind of kingship. Jesus enters Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Now that's a very real symbol that Jesus' kingdom is not like the kingdoms of the world as we know it. It was a challenge to worldly power and oppression. We're continuing to look at just how Jesus had compassion for people who are suffering injustice, and he was angry at the injustices that he saw. Last Sunday at the 5 p.m. service, we were thinking about how Jesus showed compassion for large crowds of people who were aimlessly moving about. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd, masses of people wandering about, not really knowing where they're going or why, lost physically and spiritually. And some similarity to the refugees and immigration situation we see in the world today, isn't it? It's not very different. And the word here, compassion, actually means having a gut feeling, a stirring up, something within you that actually cries out that you can't go on watching this. I don't know if you've experienced that, but that's what compassion actually means. Having compassion on people is not just feeling sorry for someone, it's actually doing something about it. And Jesus' compassion was also for those who needed healing. It's also evident in the anger he displayed at the injustice and the extortion, the money trading that was going in God's name in the temple. This was his father's house. It had become a bad marketplace, a religious system of exploitation and control. One place that should have been holy had become deeply unholy. There's two words I want you to take away with you this morning, if you take nothing else away, that as a prophetic people, we should be those who have compassion and who challenge injustices. Look at Jesus. He had compassion for those who are suffering and needing healing. He sought justice for the folk who were being swindled, who were being taken for a ride, who were being openly exploited in the temple areas. Let's just remember this morning. God is here now. God is here now. This is not just a chapel, not just a building. God is here. We're meeting here. We're meeting in his name. We're standing together. We're praising God. We're singing to him in the presence of God. I love that verse from Isaiah chapter 6, the presence of the Lord. It filled the temple. It filled the temple. God is here. He's amongst us now as we worship, as we praise, as we bring prayers to him. 1 Kings 8:10 says this: "When the priests withdrew from the holy place, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests couldn't perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple." Don't you long for the day when the glory of the Lord will fill this place? Well, in fact, I think we'll probably be speechless, but just pray for that time. And God says, Jesus said, "Well, two or three gathered, I'm there in their midst." God is here. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. We need to remember that we are here, that God is with us. And my prayer is that the glory of the Lord will fill this place. Wow. Use your imaginations this morning. The glory of the Lord filling this place. I think in this account we need to understand Jesus' viewpoint. The temple was not just an ordinary building. It was a very special place built for the worship of God. But here in the midst of the temple, we see men selling cattle, sheep, cheating, stealing, taking advantage of folk coming into the temple, ripping off folk who are coming to pray and to worship God. No wonder Jesus was horrified. No wonder he was outraged and angry. He'd seen enough, so he confronted the issue. He challenged the abuse of power in a very prophetic style. And as Christians, we should challenge all those in authority who abuse the power that they have. And this account makes the point very clearly, I think. Well, the way there are abuse in churches, it must be purged out so that God can come and fill the place. And there's been no room for abuse here in this building. And if we can just picture that of God filling this place, just filling the place, we can see what a prayer this is, to pray that God will indeed do that and drive out all that's wrong, all that's ungodly, all that worships other things and other people. We want what is right so that God can be fully established here. And man-made things, lawful things, can so easily become sinful things. Money changing in the temple. I wonder what you'd think about if we did it here. We had a money changing place in the middle here. Animals sold for sacrifice. Some say, well, it's all right. It's all part of the Lord's business, is it? No, it's not. The officials had absolutely no concern for the people whom they were exploiting. Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers and cast them all out. He didn't even want the money. He just threw it to the ground in disgust, in horror at what was going on. He was appalled. He was justified by the word of God, Isaiah 56:7. This should be a house of prayer. The temple authorities have made it a den of thieves. Where there should have been worship, there were markets, merchants robbing God of his honor. In the temple, even in the midst of all this, Jesus had compassion on all these people who were suffering. Even more, he went on to heal the blind and the lame. It's interesting that the blind and lame were not permitted to enter David's palace because they were debarred, because they were blind or lame. But praise be to God, they were allowed in the temple. It was graced and honoured when it was used as a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place of praise, a place of healing. But here we read that the temple is being profaned, abused, and being used somewhere where you can exploit people as a marketplace. The children were in the temple. As we know, I believe it's good to bring children into the house of prayer, into a place of prayer and praise and worship. And here in Jerusalem, the authorities were resolved to oppose Jesus. They hated and resented him. They wanted him dead. They were angry. And I think they really resented the children being there. And what were the children doing? Singing praises to God, shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! The children probably picked this up from the adults, I think, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And as we know, children pick up things very, very easily. Another good reason to bring them into God's house, to share in praise and worship. How are they going to learn if they're not allowed in? I think children should be here to share in the praise and the worship that goes on here. I know that sadly many churches today, adults resent children being in the services. I've heard it many times. But note this, Jesus encouraged it. I think it's also a warning for parents. We know that if there's bad behaviour, swearing or cursing in the house, children pick it up straight away, don't they? It's amazing how quickly they pick things up. Surely the same should be true by bringing them into here to praise and to worship God. And this thing about children picking things up, the problem that school was a chair governors, there's one child who came to school every day, and all he did was swear for about the first quarter of an hour, swear and curse. So he called his parents in. What did they do? You can't blank, 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 blank do this to my child. You can't blank, blank, blank do this. Children pick these things up early, very quickly, very easily, and then repeat them again and again and again. So it's good to bring children into places of worship where they can worship God. Jesus entering into Jerusalem riding on a donkey was a defiant act. It horrified and totally defied everything that the authorities wanted. For them it was outrageous, shocking, totally unacceptable. And now, here in the temple, they receive another defiant act, a second mighty blow. In the temple, there are four main courtyards. There's the court of the Gentiles. Anyone could enter that. But if any Gentile travelled further into the court of women, or the court of the Israelites, or the court of the priests, do you know what they did to them? They put them to death. What an encouragement to come into the temple. But here in this first court, we see what happened. And this court of the Gentiles, where they were, was always crowded and busy. Many people came to visit it, not because they're particularly godly, maybe, but out of interest, because it was such a beautiful building. It's an amazing building. They wanted to come in and have a look at it. It was here that all the trading and business was done. And to enter, every Jew had to pay a tax, a half shekel. But the tax had to be paid in a certain currency. It had to be paid in special temple coins made from high-grade silver, which you had to buy, otherwise you couldn't get in. And that was where the money changing was going on, at a huge profit, of course. The money changers were involved in a great deal of overcharging. The money changing fee alone, in addition to the half shekel, was one third of a day's wages. Can you think about that? They didn't just have to buy the money, but they had to pay a fine or a fee for changing it. Where did it go? Some went into the temple treasury, some went to the repair of roads, some went to pay for the gold plates that you could find in the temple. A great deal went into the pockets of the money changers themselves. They made huge profits, but even more went into the pockets of the high priest. He was even at that time a multimillionaire. The situation too regarding the selling of doves was even worse. A cheap dove could be bought outside the temple for, let's say, 50p. But at the entry point, the temple officials say, oh, this dove's it's not acceptable. It's slightly blemished. You can't come in with that. You have to go inside and buy one inside the temple. How much for? 20 times more than they could outside the temple. So instead of paying 50p, they pay £10. See what a racket it was going on every day. It is this exploitation of people that made Jesus so angry. But in Jerusalem today, I don't think much has changed. Outside the church at the Holy Sepulchre, you'll find vendors selling sacred relics, painted beads, coloured candles, bottles of Jordan water. This is for the church, sacred to the memory of Jesus. So what do we see here in the Gospel? We see an outburst of anger, which Jesus directed against those who exploited men for profit, all done in the name of a holy religion, a godly religion. And Jesus had compassion for all these people. There was no financial protection for them. They couldn't complain to anybody. Probably just charged them off if they complained. As Christians, I think we need to be alert. We should be those who challenge principalities and powers and worldly authorities who spend their time exploiting others. We should follow the example of Jesus, who gave hope to the poor in spirit, whilst challenging those who abused power and authority. The church today has a duty to protect people in a highly competitive economic situation, people who cannot protect themselves. Jesus was angry because of the traders' fees. Those fees made it impossible for many people to enter and worship in the house of God. Poor folk couldn't afford it. Many visitors who arrived to come in didn't realise how much they were going to get fleeced before they could get in. Jeremiah 7:11 says this. God says, men had made the temple a den of thieves. Isaiah 56:7. The prophet says this. God's house was a house of prayer for all people. And that's what it should be, isn't it? Should be a prayer for all people. And God will never hold guiltless those who make it difficult and impossible for people to come and to worship him. God will never hold guiltless those who make it difficult and impossible for people to come and worship him. As we learn from this episode, a spirit of greed and bitterness or argument or strife can so easily creep inside a church, which makes worship impossible. Sometimes people in various positions can become so concerned with their position, their rights, their prestige, their procedure, and man-made laws, that in the end is granted that no one can worship. The worship of God and people's disputes can never sit together. That is why Christian fellowship and Christian unity is so important. So Easter Day saw a nod towards that, but the truth of it is so important that Christians are one. We stand together as one. Note this, Jesus didn't throw everyone out of the temple, only those with a corrupt and guilty conscience. Jesus stood his ground and stayed there, healing the blind and the lame. And where there is real need, it's never sent away empty by Jesus. For Jesus, there was anger against those exploiting folk, but there was healing, and there was love for those in need. It's interesting that normally children would not have been allowed in the temple, but this was not an ordinary day. Traders and money changers fled, blind and lame people were healed. It wouldn't be every day that children were shouting Hosanna in the temple, but they were on that day. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me." The priests and scribes openly quarrelled about children singing. Children sing in the temple, whatever next? They were so upset. You see how ungodly this is. I long for the day when this place is filled with children singing and praising God. That'd be good. No? I think it's fantastic. Children should be here in the house of God worshipping and praising him. Jesus not only allowed it, but he is pleased with it. Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the maze of babes and infants, you've called forth praise. Jesus is our model, a humble and servant nature, obedient to death, even death on the cross. And as a prophetic church, we're called to serve others. As Christians, we're to have a real concern for the helpless, for the vulnerable. As a prophetic church, we are called to speak out against human abuse, human injustice, and the exploitation of the poor. We should not be those who turn a blind eye to what we see going on. So he said, "Well, it has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to take notes of that. I turned a blind eye to it. Just let it carry on." That's not what we as Christians should be doing. We should be challenging these things when we see they're wrong. We should be those too who use the gift of healing for those who are hurting. Not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. People are sad, hurt. That's what should be going on in here. And our daily life should encompass compassion and justice. And I think today our message should surely be this, the words of Jesus. He said, "I've come to bring good news to the poor." That should be part of our ministry, shouldn't it? No? I think it should. "I've come to bring good news to the poor. I've come to set the captives free." It's the words of Jesus. And I believe today as Christians, we have a calling, we have a ministry to do and to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not popular. It's not where everybody likes it. Some people, "Oh, I don't want anything to do with that." It's what Jesus did, what Jesus calls us to do. You and I, we have a very simple calling. Difficult to do, maybe, but it's a simple one. Are we taking good news to the poor? Are we taking the gospel out onto the streets, into people's homes? Are we healing those who are hurting? Are we spreading the message of good news? When you look around the world today, doesn't it need good news? Look at the countries who are suffering at this time, in Italy, in France, in Germany, in America. All over the world, we see bad things happening. The world needs good news today. And we as Christians, I think, are called to do just that, to take the message of Jesus out into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll wake us up. We pray, Lord, that you're going to fill this place with your presence, that we may go out from here on fire with love for you, Lord. Fill our hearts with love, Lord. Help us have eyes that see things that are wrong, that need putting right. Help us, Lord, to stand firm, not to run away, not to turn a blind eye, but to stand firm as a prophetic people here in this town of battle. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill this place with your presence, Lord, that we may be amazed at what you're going to do here in this town, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, fill this place. May your glory, your presence, just fill this place now. Amen.